Great. Thanks, Judith. Okay, we have the dedication of Joshua, which we're really excited about. Joshua is one, I think, isn't he? Is that right? Luke and Sarah, he looks a bit bigger than one to me, but what do I know? All right, so I'm going to invite Luke and Sarah and Hannah and Catherine just to come and stand with us at the front. We're told in 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. We get a similar picture in Luke chapter 2, and we read that Mary and Joseph, they brought Jesus to the temple to present him before the Lord. And that's kind of what Luke and Sarah are doing this morning. Do you want to come and stand here? I know it's a little bit daunting, but just so people can see you. That's what these guys are doing this morning. They're bringing Joshua to the Lord, and they're wanting to present him to the Lord. And they're going to be committing to this young life, to saying, actually, we want God's best for Joshua, for every day, week, month, and year of his life. So I've got a couple of questions. One is for the parents, for Sarah and Luke. And the answer is pretty simple, is we do. All right, and then I've got a question for godparents. You can come up as well, for the godparents, just so we can see you. It's exciting, isn't it? Do you want to come up as well? Come on, you can come up as well. A couple of questions for the godparents and for us as a church. And our response as godparents and as a church is also, we do. Is that all right? So the first question is this. This is to Sarah and Luke. Do you, as Joshua's parents, commit with God's help to showing Joshua God's love and helping him grow as a follower of Jesus and to live in God's world in years to come, God's world, God's way in years to come?
We do.
We do.
Okay, that was a resounding we do. What do you think, Joshua? Yes. He doesn't look completely convinced. He's going to grow. All right, what about to Joshua's godparents and church family? Do you commit to praying for Joshua and encouraging him in faith and to supporting his parents as they seek to show Joshua how to live in God's world, God's way, in years to come? And all God's people said?
Amen.
We do. Somebody said amen. You're so used to saying amen, aren't you? We do. All right, so if you'd like to just join with us in prayer, okay, we're going to pray now for Joshua, and we're going to dedicate him to the Lord. As Jesus took children in his arms and blessed them, so that's exactly what we're doing now. We're asking God's blessing on Joshua. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for Joshua's birth. We praise you that he is healthy and well. And we ask you now, Spirit of God, in that wonderful way that you do, would you surround him with your blessing? Thank you for this lovely face. Thank you for this lovely character that you thought of, you designed, even when he was in his mum's tummy. You loved him, and you had great ideas for his life. And we pray now as a church family, as godparents, and as parents, and we commit, we dedicate this life to you. And we pray that Joshua will discover that the best way to live this life is to find out about the God who loves him and to work out what it means to live life with this God who loves him. And so we dedicate him to you, and we read this priestly blessing from Numbers 6. We say over you, Joshua, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Hannah and Teresa. Where's Teresa? They're going to come and they're going to pray for Joshua and for Luke and for Sarah.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today and that the opportunity we have to celebrate Joshua. Thank you for all you have planned for him. We pray that as he grows up, he would come to know you as his own friend. We pray for your protection over him, that even when he faces hard times, he will know that you are with him. Please fill his life with love, happiness, and true friendships. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful boy, Joshua, and for his beautiful family. We pray for Luke, Sarah, Ella Rose, and Joshua. We pray for an abundance of love and patience for Luke and Sarah as the children grow with their different highs and lows that life throws at them. We pray for Ella Rose and Joshua, both as they grow and as they go through nursery, school, college, to working and having their own families. We pray for protection over all their relationships with friends and family and teachers and peers. We pray this lovely family will continue to grow closer as a family, but also will grow closer to you. We ask them in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Eden and Faith have got a small gift for Joshua. So Eden and Faith, would you come up now? We have your first Bible, Joshua. You have to get your mum and dad to read bits to you. Thank you very much, Eden and Faith. Where's our cameraman? Do you want to get a... Okay, all right. Fantastic. Luke, Sarah, Joshua, thank you very much, you guys. We will keep on praying for you. Bless you. Okay, we'll give them a moment to compose themselves, particularly Sarah, because we're going to be jumping straight in and baptizing Sarah this morning, which is just fantastic. Right. Just a quick explanation on baptism. For those of you that are kind of thinking, why would somebody choose to get into a tank of water in a secondary school, stuck in the middle of the room, get fully submerged, and come up the other side? Why on earth would anybody do that? And it's a good question, but it's a good answer as well. In Jesus' day, it was a symbol of wanting to live for God, to being washed and cleansed. That was symbolic in Jesus' day. Today, we'd probably use slightly different language, perhaps. We might say that it's representing God giving us a new start, a fresh start, a new life with God rather than separate from him. And that's what Sarah's doing today. By going down into the water, she's saying, actually, my life without God, it's finished. All right? There's a dying that happens. It's a serious thing that we're doing. It's actually life without God, I'm dead to that. When she comes up out of the water, what she's saying is, I'm alive to God, and I want to do my life with him. And so this baptism, it's representing something that's already happened in her. She's chosen that she wants to be with God, to have God in her life, to make Jesus the Lord of her life. And this is like a representation of something that's happened. But it's more than that as well. It's an important marker. It's a step in her journey of faith. And actually her family, for Luke and Alison and others as well, they get the privilege of watching Sarah kind of grow up as a woman of God and take this step of faith. Which we're really, really excited about. And it's a huge privilege for us as a church to be baptizing Sarah. So Sarah, are you ready? You ready to give your testimony? We're really looking forward to this. So come up now and let's hear a little bit about Sarah's journey with God.
So this is definitely one of the reasons why I thought this day would never come. Standing up in front of everybody, telling about what I am and what led me to this point is actually really daunting. Normally, I do love a bit of attention, but in a church environment, I'm quite a long way out of my comfort zone. I like to sit at the back. I'm not a loud, hands-in-the-air kind of worshipper, so often I've thought that I'm not enough of a Christian to get baptised or even really get involved. I remember watching my cousin Hannah getting baptised quite a long time ago and looking at her thinking, she is mental. There is no way I would ever do that. Yet somehow here we are. I haven't had a defining moment that changed my mind and made me think, right, now I'm going to get baptised. I didn't have an epiphany. I haven't had a supernatural experience with God. I used to tell myself that that is when I would do it, when I'm sure of everything, when I'm older, more sensible. I've worried that maybe I might be a bit of a fraud, portraying myself as a Christian without actually behaving like one or how one I thought should. I thought the people that get baptised are godly, talk about their relationship with God, go to church every week without fail, do Christian stuff. But just recently I've realised that I want to be baptised because I feel personally ready to move forward with my faith, to move on from old behaviours and reservations and the distance that I still feel sometimes from God, in the hope of a new beginning and to gain that connection with God that I've heard others talk about, yet have yet to truly experience. I was brought up in a Christian family, so it was second nature really to believe in God and go to church. I've never questioned God's existence, but as I approached my teenage years, I lost interest. Church was not a cool place to be, and to be honest, took up a lot of valuable party recovery time. I wanted to go out drinking, I wanted to go wild. I started to forget about my faith, and I pushed away from it. I always had that niggling feeling at the back of my mind that this was not the right path, but just reasons that God made me, he knows me, so he'd understand, right? I still prayed a lot, mainly to ask for stuff. A last resort prayer when things were not going my way. God loves a trier, after all. I was not really earning any entitlement to be asking for this help. I didn't really earn the entitlement to ask for that sort of help, so I wasn't offering anything in return. I think my parents would probably agree when they say that I went off the rails for quite a long period of time. I loved a party. That was my main focus. I got married during those years, and it was around that time that I did an Alpha course, which I only really attended partly due to arranging the marriage with the church. It actually had quite an impact on me, and it was then that I sat with Teresa and said the prayer to bring God into my life, to start over and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I guess naively, I waited for the feeling to hit me, the rush of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural experience you get when you join up. But I was sadly disappointed. I thought I would feel different somehow. I tried to start attending church again, always waiting for God to speak to me through someone or give me a sign, but nothing really happened. So again, I lost interest. My marriage at that time was destructive and unhealthy and ended abruptly a couple of years in. I moved in with a friend in Bath and things kind of spiraled with my behaviour a little bit and my drinking. I would say I lost myself for a little bit and I was in quite a dark place for a while. I still prayed regularly to God for help and to help me find a way forward to what I needed to be happy, but I wasn't overly confident with gaining a response. But then on another standard night out, I had a chance meeting with a tall, dark stranger, which none of us were meant to be in the place that we were, but both our plans had changed, and so I was given my answer. The change of my life after meeting Luke was almost immediate and genuinely amazing. I would definitely thank God for our chance meeting and for the relationship that quickly followed, although Luke would definitely say that he would take some of the credit for saving me, as he always says. We married in 2013, and I gained a whole new family that accepted me and loved me like their own. The support that they continue to give me every day makes me feel truly blessed to have such amazing people in my life. Shortly after we married, we conceived but sadly lost our first baby fairly on in the pregnancy. It was a hugely painful experience, but we tried again, though the months went past and it did seem like this would never happen for us. I prayed every day for the family that I'd always wanted, and within this time, although it was stressful, I could definitely feel a change in me as I was leaning towards God for support rather than turning away from him as I'd done previous issues of my life. Obviously, my prayers were answered. I have two amazing, healthy, happy children who are my entire world, and I thank God every day for them. Having children has changed my whole outlook on life. It's not just my faith I'm responsible for now, it's theirs as well. I want to give them the best start in everything, and I want them to know about God and Jesus. I know the protection and security you can feel as a child, and also as an adult, knowing a higher power is looking out for you, just like my mum did for me. When they get older, I know just as I did, they will find their own way and make their own decisions, but I want to be responsible for the background and experience they have to base it on. I have christened and now dedicated both my children. And I don't want to turn around and explain to them when they're older that I'm not baptised, that I don't practice what I preach because I'm too scared or I'm putting it off. A friend of mine died suddenly last year out of the blue, and it made me realise that tomorrow is not necessarily a given. So it is, the saying goes, you know, get things done today. I know I'm ready to confirm my commitment and publicly show my thanks for the gifts in life I've been given. I hope I can be as good a role model for them as my mum was and still is for me. Her dedication to the church and to God still amazes me every day. I may not be what you or I would class as a stereotypical Christian. I will never lose my wild streak. I don't claim to be anywhere near perfect, but that is what makes me me. I'm working towards improving myself in the way that God would want me to, but he knows what's in my heart. Matt asked me the other day what God means to me, and it just seemed natural to say everything. I talk to him every day. I love God, and I've been told and hopefully pretty sure that God loves me, so I think that's all that matters. Thank you.
What a great testimony. Okay, we're going to get the band back. We're going to stand together and sing the chorus of a song just while these guys get in the water together. Don't take your phone in the water with you, Sarah. Let's stand together. We're going to lift our eyes to Jesus. We're going to thank him for what he does in our lives. It's a great testimony, isn't it? She is a work in progress, like the person sat next to you and you and me. And it's good, isn't it? All right, let's stand together. Let's worship, and then we're going to baptize Sarah. Okay, this is the exciting bit. You feeling okay?
A little hot.
It's boiling. It is pretty hot. Deacons, we love you, just to be clear. Okay, what we're going to ask is those of you that would like to just come down now and pray, we'd love you to do that, just so that you're ready for when Sarah comes up out of the water. So come on, some of you leaders, some of those that know Alison and family, come and gather around, because when she comes up out of the water, what we're going to ask is that God will meet her, all right? That God will really meet her, fill her with his spirit, and there will be that step forward in Sarah's relationship with God that you've been talking about. So come now so that you're ready. And we're gonna baptize Sarah. That's it. Good. Brilliant. Wonderful. All right.
Sarah, do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Then on your profession of faith, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing occasion when we can celebrate Sarah's baptism. I thank you on a personal level for Alison and the dedication and love that she has shown to you and to her family. And we thank you for this precious day when we're celebrating Sarah's baptism. I pray your blessing on Sarah and her Luke and her children, and your continued blessing on Alison and Colin's family too. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we thank you that when you were baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on you like a dove.
Come, Lord Jesus.
And we just pray, Lord, that this morning Sarah might know this wonderful filling and embracing of your Holy Spirit, and he will guide her in all the ways of righteousness throughout the rest of her life. Lord, we give you thanks for this joyous occasion. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Sarah, I don't know you, but I was just thinking of you, and I flicked the Bible open, and this is the reading, Matthew 17. It says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And God just reminded me of David and Goliath, and it wasn't Goliath that was the important one, it was little David. And you might think you're little in faith and a little David, but God just says, keep slinging those stones, Sarah. God bless you.
Earlier this morning, I was praying for Sarah, and he gave me this verse from Song of Songs chapter 2. It's a really simple verse. It says, I am his and he is mine. And I just ask you, Spirit of God, would you come close to Sarah now? And I pray that she would hear you say those words, you are mine. And that she would be able to say in her heart, Lord, I am yours. I am yours. Father, we pray for that drawing near, that intimacy, that closeness that comes as we say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was praying for some verses yesterday for Sarah, and I got two. One, Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5. It says, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me how to follow you. Guide me in your truth. Teach me. You are God, my Saviour. I put my hope in you all day long. And the other one's from Psalm 37, 4 to 5. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. And I just pray that, Jesus, that this week, as she goes into a normal daily life, that she will be protected against anything that comes against her this week. Just let her have a really cool week of just having fun with her kids. And just thank you, Lord, that she's made this decision today, even though she didn't want to get her hair wet and have makeup runny and everything. But, Lord, just thank you that she's made this decision for you, Lord, and that she's obeyed what you've asked her to do. Just pray that this be a really good day for her, and that she will always, always remember this day in hard times and good times. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I had a picture of a field of sunflowers, and I feel that's your family. Loads of sunflowers that turn their heads to the sun and grow up in the warmth of the sun. There was a slightly smaller one, and it's like God saying, you may feel you're the smallest of the sunflowers, but you're not insignificant. You are a sunflower like everybody else in your family. And each sunflower has to grow up and turn into the sun, the same as you will do. And you're all special, but you're all sunflowers, but you're all different as well. Father, I pray that you bless this family of sunflowers. They grow from strength to strength, individually in their walk with you, and as a collective, Lord, as a whole family. Bless them in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Fantastic. If there's things that you've felt the Lord given you as we've been praying, share them with Sarah later on. But bless you, Sarah. Wonderful. Okay, good. These guys are going to go and get changed. The rest of us, we're going to have a time of worship. As we're doing that, during the first song, any youth that are left, what's happening to any remaining youth, Dave? Do we know? They're sticking in the service, right? I'm guessing. Children are going out to their groups. Yeah, if there's any youth not at Chepstow, stick around in here this morning. You're going to get the privilege of listening to Dave Kingswood. Not sure that's good or bad for you. Hopefully good. If you're here, if you're a child and you want to go to your group, now would be a good moment. Have a great morning. The rest of us, we're going to go for it in worship before Dave comes to speak.
Okay, as we can continue to worship, I'm just going to read Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.